City, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, all with you as we are an hour away from hitting our weekend. We want you guys to continue staying here on 96.5 The Fan. You've got Cody and Gold coming up next. You've got Carrington, full show, and then Josh Verner at 6 o'clock as the Royals on Deck show will start. They play tonight at 7:10 against the Houston Astros, but tonight at 8 o'clock, the United States plays Paraguay, and we are now joined by Jamie Watson as our insider for this. Is presented by Lowe's. Members get more at Lowe's. Jamie, how are you now that we got this thing started and kicking around?
Watson!
I am so excited. I love that. Great start. It's only downhill from here after that.
No. We'll keep going. Hey, is it a disappointment of all time if the United States doesn't make the knockout stage?
Oh, hot one right off the bat. Is it the biggest disappointment of all time? I feel like that's like saying a food is a 10 out of 10. I mean, it's absolutely perfect. There can always be something a little bit better, I feel like. So could there be a lower disappointment of all time? Probably. Would it be a massive, epic, hugely embarrassing failure if they don't get out of the group at home? Yes, it would be as disastrous for U.S. soccer if they do not get out of the group stage in a home World Cup with this group. I'll go as far as to say that.
Yeah, it will be. I think a lot of disappointed people, as we talked to Jamie Watson, who does, of course, analyst work on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. The World Cup is here, began yesterday. And talking a little bit about this American team, man, and I'm older, Jamie, so I've been around 50 years. And so it's like you see when I was a kid, soccer is going to be the next big thing. And then my kids hear that soccer is going to be the next big thing. And we're still waiting for it to explode here in the United States like we dominate all the other world sports. How do we finally get to that point where our men's team is dominating at that national level?
You know, it's a great question.
Thank you.
You said the men's dominating, by the way, because the women have been dominating on the world scale for a long time. Got to give them their fair due because they've been downright dominant. Now, when you look back to the last time the World Cup was in the United States, 1994, 2 years later, Major League Soccer launched off of that momentum from 94.
Okay.
Now we're 30 years into Major League Soccer. Sporting Kansas City are a staple in the community, and you've seen just how solid ground Major League Soccer is in. Well, we're not going to be launching a league off the back of this World Cup, but what I do think that we can do here, guys, if the United States can have a successful deep run in the tournament, but also they can do it in a way that's entertaining and it's so exciting for fans to watch. I think it can get fans that are on the fence about soccer or like, you know what, I kind of like it, but man, I watched that 2026 World Cup. I saw one of the six matches in Kansas City. It's absolutely amazing. I'm dying to go see a Sporting Kansas City or a Kansas City Current game now, and then it converts even more fans. I've said my entire life, I just turned 40 in April, we're in a generational shift. My parents knew nothing about soccer, yet they took me to soccer. They were like, all right, let's just let you run some energy out, whatnot. And then now I don't know a life without it. It's basically supported me my entire life. Now my kids don't know a life without soccer. They had a team before they could even walk, and they understood what that meant. There was a team. This World Cup can continue that on if the U.S. men's national team can capture the hearts of fans by doing it in an entertaining and fun way while also having success, and that's ultimately winning games.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because this U.S. men's team has got a lot of youth on their side, obviously spearheaded by Christian Pulisic, but what is maybe some other names that we could watch for that maybe we're not hearing about? Because I know Pulisic's obviously to the average person that watches, that's the guy they're going to look for, but what's the surrounding talent that is young and can be pretty solid on this team?
First name that comes to mind is, one of the hardest things to do in soccer is score goals. So the first name that comes to mind is the goal scorer, Flo Again, this is a guy that's been lighting it up, scoring goals while he plays at Monaco, and he'll be the starting center forward. And we actually have a center forward that looks like he is capable of producing a moment of magic. He's got a track record of scoring goals in Europe, but he can really take a game over at a moment's notice, and he can blow by any defender, big, strong, quick, whatever. He can do that. I think when it's all said and done, Flo Balogun is the player we're going to be talking about that impressed the most by scoring the most goals. And I cannot wait to see if he catches form and he starts to score goals one after another, gets that momentum. He could be a player that we ride deep into this tournament to go along with Pulisic and Weston McKennie and a lot of the other pieces to the puzzle.
What about the entertaining and exciting part you talked about? I found that very interesting that that was the first way you said fans would, you know, adapt the men's soccer team or adopt the men's soccer team, I should say, if it's an entertaining and exciting brand of soccer. How much has sports, in your opinion, even changed over maybe the last 10 or 15 years where entertaining has to be maybe the number one thing you're looking at now when you're putting together a team? Because if it's not entertaining, it's just like a TV show. You're going to bounce if it's boring.
That's the reality of it, isn't it? You guys know this. You got to be able to find a way in which you're effective, because ultimately everybody loves a winner, right? If you're winning games, that's fun. It's contagious. Everybody wants to be a part of it. But for the U.S. men's national team, the realistic expectation is they're not winning the World Cup. You know that. I know that. If they do, this would be miracle on ice times a million. But if they can make a deep run and show that they belong, and they do it in a way that's like, hey, we're actually really good and we're really fun to watch and we get numbers forward. We're scoring goals. We're not just sitting back. We're not just taking punches and getting beat up like a little brother. And then at the last second we pull a fast one on big brother and get the win. But we all know that we got our butts kicked the whole time. You know, it's things like that. You got to have Sergiño Dest on one side. Hopefully Anthony Robinson is all well and good. Mm-hmm. He scored a world-class goal against Germany last Saturday in Chicago in the send-off match. Man, we need players taking chances at the right times, not taking chances and costing us the game, but taking chances in the final third, getting numbers in the box, scoring goals, having a bit of edge about them, I don't care what you think about me. I'm going to celebrate in your face. I'm going to make this to where I have all the confidence in the world. It's you're having to adapt to me. I'm not having to adapt to you. That's what I'd like to see from this group. Maybe it's a little bit of romanticism to hope we see that. But if the group did that, that's what grabs the casual fan and says, all right, I'm in on this soccer thing. Let me go check it out when the tournament's done with Sporting KC or Kansas City Current, et cetera.
Talking with Jamie Watson, he's our World Cup insider here. It's presented by Lowe's. Find what you need to get projects done from brands you trust at prices you'll love. Lowe's, we help you save. Jamie, I got to ask you this, man. What is Paraguay got to do tonight to make sure the USA doesn't win?
The longer this game goes without the United States scoring, the more pressure starts to mount. That's the better for Paraguay. Paraguay need to make this ugly. They need to make this boring. They need to make this stop-start. The less aesthetically pleasing it is to watch this game, the better that is for the United States opponent tonight, Paraguay. If the United States gets an early goal, that opens things up, and then it sends the watch party that will be going crazy down at the World War One Memorial. If you're at the Power Light District with Nate Bucati, he'll be there. Sporting Kansas City, the voice of the team for so long. That would be great. And I know Fesco, you guys go way back. You and Nate.
Yeah.
I've just been catching up on Kansas City soccer. Thanks to him, been reading his book that he just came out with Rustin Dodd, Perfect Pitch. That's been awesome to watch, man. You guys are going to be in a treat for all the watch parties, all the games you've got, Argentina and Messi coming into town. I mean, it's incredible times right now in Kansas City, which is a hotbed for soccer. I don't need to tell you guys this, but it's going to be so exciting. And if the U.S. wins tonight against Paraguay, that's only going to build more and more momentum for the fan and the casual fan alike as this tournament progresses.
Have you, seen this mathematician who's picked the last three World Cup winners, and this year he's got the Netherlands winning it all? How do you stand on his prediction, and who do you like in this, Jamie?
Whoa, who's that? Hold on. Now let's talk really important things here. If he's predicting the last three, why is he not predicting the Powerball numbers?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well,
because he factors in like weather of the country and like just not sports stuff is what he's factored in the last three World Cups, and he's nailed the winner every single time.
You're onto something. I don't know who this is. Maybe I'm following the wrong people on social media. Look, Netherlands, they're number eight in the world right now. This is a group that probably is in that second tier, not the top tier of teams in the tournament, but it's not crazy to think that they can't progress on. They've got a ridiculous team as well too. And this is a group that they're fun to watch, man. They had a run and got knocked out by Argentina in a dramatic fashion in the last World Cup. Not crazy to think that, but maybe this guy's onto something that we need to be onto. And now, give us the heads up. If he makes it another World Cup prediction in a row, I'm not doubting this guy going forward.
Yeah, exactly. If he picks four straight, holy cow. So who do you like winning this whole thing?
Look, I'm gonna. I'm gonna state the obvious here. There's the number one team in the world. It's France. I got a chance to do France versus Brazil at Gillette Stadium at the end of March, and Brazil was a top five team at the time, and France played them off the park. France even went down a player and still scored a second goal against Brazil. They were miles better than Brazil. France could put two teams in this tournament, and I think they'd both get out of their group stage. They're that deep. They're that good. Yeah, for me, I don't think it's particularly close, but there is a knockout element to it, and it's not a best of seven series. You lose a game, you're out. You have one mistake, you're out when it gets to the knockout stage. Crazy things have happened, but I believe confidently France are that much better than their opponents heading into this tournament.
So Mbappe is still just him.
Nah, he's the guy.
Is Zinedine Zidane still headbutting people?
You know what? Wouldn't that be? Hey, maybe there's the entertainment we need right there from the United States. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. You know, I wouldn't want to take that one for the team, but we're still talking about all these years later, aren't we?
Yeah.
That's great. Jamie, we appreciate the time, man. We continue to talk to you throughout this World Cup, and take it easy and enjoy it all tonight, man.
Looking forward to it. You guys as well. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Jamie.
I bet. That is Jamie Watson. He is presented by Lowe's. Members get more at Lowe's. We come back. We talk about Sean Payton getting extended because he deserved it. Plus, there's a guy in Kansas City that's hotter than the humidity currently here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of doubt, I take a look at myself and realize there's nothing left. I've been... Okay, I'm sorry. That's Cody's bit. I love this song, though. Coolio, man. Every time we play it, I always bring that up. But, yeah, here we are. Are you getting a little juice? Are you getting a little juice for the game tonight?
Oh, absolutely. For U.S.?
Paraguay,
let's
USA?
Go.
I'll go back to something this gentleman said, though. He said there'd be two teams from France that could make the knockout
He's
stage.
He's not wrong.
Yeah.
Real quick, are there two teams in any American professional sport that could advance to the postseason?
Dodgers.
Maybe.
I mean, I think. But I mean,
maybe.
You just don't have that in baseball. Because, I don't know if you'd have nine guys in nine different spots. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, but, I don't think you do. But, I mean, that just shows you the talent, though, level that is there.
We're missing the boat here. College football. There's probably some teams at like Alabama or Georgia.
With the portal now, though, and guys jumping all over the place, you can't really stockpile talent,
what's
right?
The question again?
But he said that two teams from France could advance to the knockout round.
Like their backups.
They're
could,
so good that yes, their backouts
so
could be.
Gotcha.
I'm asking, is there any American Heard. Sports teams where you could say two, let's just say yes. Kansas Jayhawk basketball teams could have made the NCAA tournament,
gotcha.
Or two Yankees could make the, you know, the postseason in Major League Baseball, or two Chiefs could make it into the Super Bowl, not to the Super Bowl, but to the playoffs, yeah. In the NFL, or two Knicks teams or two Spurs teams, yeah, you know, could make it in. Like, you're so deep that your second tier is better
Insane.
Than, yeah, that's where we're going against with France right now, is that their second team is so good that they could by themselves go out there and be a team in the World Cup by themselves alone. So by him saying that, I'm looking at that and going, unless France just gags this thing away, which is very possible, right?
Oh, yeah.
They have to be one of those top teams that you're looking at going into the World Cup. But I thought that was just remarkable. That's how good France is, that they are so deep that you can go out there and play with two teams in the World Cup and still be better than half the field that is currently in the World Cup right now.
Yeah, I would think it's got to be a college sports team. And I get the NIL portal and stuff like that, because what was it at one point? Like Alabama's running back room?
Yeah.
It was like Derrick Henry.
It's definitely still a college football team. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be.
It's got to be. Because even though the portal, Bob, there's guys that'll stay there for two, three. They've got freshmen that are five-star freshmen that are just going to start and be Heisman,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Candidates. So I would say that. But still, that's
probably very few, though.
Very few.
I don't even know if it's Alabama anymore.
No, it might not be Alabama. It's Ohio State.
Ohio
it's Georgia.
State. Georgia.
Yeah, probably that's Texas.
But Texas doesn't win with their star players. They're a fraud.
yeah.
Like, think about it. Like, maybe it is only Georgia and Ohio State.
Yeah, it would only be a couple of schools, and it's not no one in basketball. No.
No, not in basketball. No, you can't.
Spread too thin.
Right.
Eight countries have won the World Cup. I said that earlier. Can you name me the eight?
France.
Okay.
England.
Okay.
Spain.
Okay.
Who do you say? France, England, Spain?
Argentina.
Four. Yep. There's Argentina. Yep.
Then you have Germany.
Five.
You have Brazil.
Six.
Mexico.
Nope.
England.
I said England, right?
I said England, yep.
Yeah. Wales?
No.
Nope.
We're missing an obvious one.
You're missing one obvious one, and the other one's not as obvious. It's a good trivia question. You're going to know when I say it, I believe, but not obvious. One is obvious that you're missing. Right now, you've got Brazil, Germany, France, England, Argentina, and Spain. You're missing
Portugal?
Two. Not Portugal.
Italy?
Italy. Yeah. There's the obvious one, right. Italy. They've got four.
Because I was there when they won the World Cup. It was how I didn't say Italy to begin with.
Yeah, their last one, 06.
Yeah, we were there, yeah, and I'll never forget.
Awesome.
Being in Rome on a city bus, that's they amazing. Win the World Cup, and the guy just gets off the bus and leaves. Yeah.
That's awesome.
See ya.
And then the last one, they've won two. The last one was 1950.
Go ahead.
Uruguay.
No, oh, okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Uruguay. Mm. So there it is.
So do we have a first-time winner this year?
I think
boy, it doesn't seem
doesn't
like
seem
it.
Like I think the Netherlands, yeah, are the only team, and that he mentioned that's a tier two team that could,
right,
make it.
But that goes back to,
we need more parity in the World Cup.
And I think it was, I want to say it was 2018. Would that have been a World Cup?
2018. Yep.
I think 18, the Netherlands lost to Spain in the final.
Yeah, because they've made the finals now three times.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the last.
That Netherlands
times,
but team was sick, dude. They had Robin van Persie. They had Ian Robin.
Their jerseys are great.
Oh, yeah,
their hair is amazing.
Yeah.
No, I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for the Netherlands. I also like really good defense in any sport, but especially soccer for whatever reason. That gets me going. So I've heard, I know nothing, but from a guy who knows more, including Jamie Watson, mentioned England's defense. So I'm excited to watch England on defense as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Somebody says KU and Johnson County Community College baseball teams have.
Hey, there you go.
Combine both of them. Yeah, I love it. Good call.
And then we have Argentina is ranked world number one, actually.
Thank you, coach.
Yeah. Somebody says, Bob, France in a group of death. They could potentially, although highly unlikely, not make it out of group. And they're the third team to come out of group. Out of the group, they would have to play the number one team out of another group.
Yeah, they've got Norway and Senegal, who are both solid teams. Mm-hmm. And then Iraq, who I've heard is, again, just from one podcast, who have bottom three team. But yeah, Senegal and Norway in their group.
Who's in, do you have all the groups up?
I can get them. Yeah,
yeah, I've got them up. Okay, here.
What's Spain's group? Because Spain's like this is what Scott Parks has told me. So he's the one that's beyond the pitch that did the podcast, him and Rob Brenton. He said Spain is going to surprise people because they're young and talented.
Oh, my God. They're in with, I mean, come on.
Yeah, they don't mention the teams if that's that
no,
bad.
No, I'm going to because okay. I've never heard of this team.
Heard of them.
Cabo Verde?
Oh.
That sounds like something I order at Abelardo's.
I mean, Cabo Verde.
C-A-B-O?
Space Verde. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Cabo Wabo, but it's Cabo Verde.
Country in Africa.
Wow, I've never heard of them before. That's cool. New country. Cool.
Yeah,
all right.
500,000 is the population.
I've never heard of that country
before. It
looks before.
Beautiful. They've got mountains and ocean. It's an island.
Where? Oh, it's an island?
It's an island.
Where?
Oh,
like
God,
South
this
Africa?
Looks incredible. Let me pull up on a map.
No wonder nobody wants to play soccer. This would be in paradise.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. Dude. Yeah, off the coast of West Africa.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is...
Is that where you're
gorgeous.
Going with the wife next
that'll
vacation?
Be, I mean, that'll be the next one,
seriously.
Right? Holy cow.
Wow.
Look at this place.
It's amazing.
Off the coast of Senegal.
Yeah,
and see,
is.
This is what the World Cup provides.
Yeah,
literally. We are now Freddy, but not
yes.
being able to drive
okay.
to everything.
I'll,
exactly.
be, I'll be honest with you. Zoom out twice on that map, okay? And where Cabo Verde is, you could see Puerto Rico. It's not far from Puerto Rico at all.
Wow, you're right. Yeah.
Look at that. Now, it probably is, but it's not like, I'm looking at that. I'm like, I didn't realize how close Africa truly was to South America either on this one. That's great. Cabo Verde out in the middle of, you'd call it the Caribbean if it was on our side of the globe. But I mean, wow, like on the same kind of longitude, or I guess that would be latitude as Barbados.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
It's beautiful. Good
I've
for
never,
them.
Yeah. How about that? I never heard of that country before. And then Saudi Arabia and Uruguay are in Group H with Spain.
Okay.
France has Senegal, Iraq, and Norway.
Okay. Which is what Mac had mentioned. And then who's Brazil's group?
Brazil, Morocco, Haiti, and Scotland.
That could be an interesting group.
Be a good group.
I'm rooting for Scotland in this. I mean, are you guys following the Scottish takeover in Boston right now? I mean, some guy just tweeted out. He goes, I'm walking out. It's 8 a.m. They're out there drinking, and they offered me a beer. And I'm like, I can't. I got to go to work.
Skip it.
The Scottish are playing bagpipes at 6:30 in the neighborhood. They're having beers at 8 o'clock. Yes. And I guarantee you, there's probably a Karen. I shouldn't say I guarantee you there's no one. But if you're up there complaining about that, then you should take a vacation out of the United States.
It's not a lawnmower. It's a bagpipe.
It's a bagpipe. Like, yeah. It could be worse, though. I mean, you can't complain about this kind of stuff. This is what the World Cup is all about. I love these stories of the Scottish out front of their Airbnb playing bagpipes and drinking beer. I'm going to root for Scotland.
I love it. Scotland next to the United States, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Every song sounds the same from Tech N9ne.
No.
Yes.
No.
No. Okay, that's fine.
Got so much music.
Yeah.
I would actually argue that the exact opposite of that.
Okay. I mean, Einstein's a banger.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. No, I get people not liking his style, though.
It's fine. It's like the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, not for everyone.
Yeah, I respect the hell out of Beastie
Boys. Yeah, exactly.
Boys.
Still,
and I respect the hell out of Tech N9ne. It's just like,
yep,
not my jam.
Speed rap,
but music is so, it's just so diverse. Everybody has talk about hills to die on in sports.
Music hills.
The Beatles are overrated. Whoa, dude.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know, you get that all the time. Or
yeah, my brother Sean did that hill pretty early on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Beatles are way overrated, not that good. Right?
Can I ask you this question? Does your dad play the Beatles all the time growing
mom
up?
Mom did.
Though? Your mom did. There you go. Yeah. That's why. That's why I had that take, because our parents played it constantly.
I forgot about that.
And constantly played the Beatles, and you just get ingrained, and it's like, enough is enough of something.
I remember my dad and I driving to the lake with my buddy Chuck, and my dad's obsessed with Jimmy Buffett. And he's like, do you guys enjoy Jimmy Buffett? And my buddy goes, yeah, he's pretty good for easy listening. And I mean, you'd have thought my dad jackknifed the Explorer.
Well, he is kind of easy listening music, though.
I couldn't debate it.
He's not hard rock.
He just goes, yeah, it's good for easy listening.
Yeah, it is. It's easy listening music. It's not hard rock.
Mother Ocean.
I mean, Come Monday, you're not playing that on The Rock. 98.9 The Rock now with Jimmy Buffett's Come Monday.
I think it was more so like classified. He didn't like it because he was just like, I don't know. He's just. It was one of the funniest moments of my life. He's good for easy listening. Excuse me. Then the stats come.
Oh,
did
we've got
Jimmy
stats.
Buffett in 1978.
Oh yeah,
you know. Oh, it's great. You know, he got started like in Key West. Yeah, thank you. Played at dive bars.
Yeah, we get it.
Yep. I do love me some Jimmy. R.I.P. I lost him too soon. Not Jimmy Buffett, who gets a lot of awards and deservingly so. We can hate this guy all we want. I don't like him as a human being or a football coach, but the extension that Sean Payton got yesterday is very well deserved.
No doubt.
8 wins, 10 wins, 14 wins. Playoffs, right? Back-to-back years. Got to the AFC Championship game. You have to reward that. Now, from what we've seen from Sean Payton, once he gets his guy and doesn't screw it up, then he kind of gets his system. I'm not saying that he's Andy Reid and Mahomes, but he and Bo Nix, this is a big pivotal year for me because of how last year ended. We went on for a week calling this guy the Richard of the Week because he's exposing injuries that have happened in the past to Bo Nix. And then Bo Nix is like, well, I really wish he wouldn't have, you know, brought that up, which maybe we kind of blew that a little bit out of proportion. And maybe that's just, you know, taking quotes that we hear and not knowing the actual, you know, what's going on between the two. But I am interested to know that it took 3 years for Denver to be convinced. And I will say that he did a very, very good job managing that team after where they were with the Russell Wilson contract. Because I always go back to his first year as the coach when it was going sour quick. And I think if I go back and repolish that, that might have been more of a Russell Wilson issue than it was a Sean Payton issue. Because if you remember that first preseason game they played Arizona, and this is just, you know, my memory being weird, He left Russell Wilson in preseason game one against Arizona until the 2-minute warning in preseason game one, where it's like, you know, you hear Andy Reid every year, we get it again this year. Yeah, the starters gonna play first quarter. Yeah, they're gonna play in the first quarter for a drive, and then they're not gonna play again. But and then we found out, you know, Russell Wilson had, you know, music limitations that you couldn't play. He had his own private office. Like, and it just kind of bizarre. Moved on from them. Drafted Bo Nix, who a lot of people said this was a mistake at quarterback to draft out of college because he was older, he was in Oregon, he was in Auburn, what's he going to be? They gave him the contract that I think he deserves, and he'll be there until 2030. That's what Denver's doing. They're investing in Sean Payton, and the two things that are the hardest thing to do in football is to find your future in quarterback and to find a sustainable coach.
And come up with a new logo, yeah. But yeah, it's the right move, though, if you're Denver.
Yeah, you can hate it all you want. Now the question is, will he outlast Andy Reid as a head coach?
I don't know. I'd like to say
Reds is 29.
29 is his last year. Well, last year of his contract.
Until he signs a 2-year extension.
Right. Move that money out under the cap so we can, you know, sign more coaches. But
sidebar, does that count against the cap?
No,
okay,
no.
I didn't think so.
I'd like to say Andy outlasts him. I really would. But I don't know, just being 68 years old. But again, if they're winning and they're going back to the Super Bowl and they're still getting championships and Andy's getting, what did you say, Mac, earlier, 48 wins away from tying Don Shula all time, or 48, either way, it's about 48 wins. That's 12 wins a year over the next 4 years.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
It's going to be very tough. And so let's say they get 10 or 11 wins a year for the next 4 years, and Andy Reid is this close, you know he's coming back for one more year in 2030, because I'm going to say right now, I'll go out on a limb and say Andy will not get those 48 wins in the next 4 years. That's 12 wins a year. That's a lot now in this day and age in the NFL. You know, 17-0 would help a lot. I promise you that. And then 20-0 running through the playoffs would help a lot as well. You know, get 20 wins stacked up.
But that's true. We're not counting playoffs. You're right. Now there's playoffs.
Yeah. Does that count, though? They do count. Okay. That's why I sighed. I'm like, I don't know if they count total wins.
Yeah, I was doing that same thing, though, Bob, but you mentioned playoffs. So you're right. So it could happen in 4 years playoffs.
Because of playoffs.
Okay,
yes.
That's good.
Okay. Because of playoffs, so you're probably looking at a 10 to 11 regular season win every year, because you can't count on going to the Super Bowl every single year, right? And so you're hoping maybe there's a couple of wild card games in there that you win, and then a couple of division round games that you win as well to kind of, you know, pad that resume. It's going to be down to the finish line, really, Mac, when you think about it. You know, we're going down to the finish line. 48 wins to go, 4 years to do it, an average of 12 per year. You know what? That needs to be the goal of this franchise, to make sure that this team gets you 12 wins per year for the next 4 years, so Andy Reid can walk away if he wants to after this contract as the winningest coach all time in NFL history.
Can I ask you guys this? Does Andy Reid open the new stadium as a head coach?
2031?
I mean, he's going to outlast Sean, 2030. You would think.
Yeah, I want to say yes, I do, but it's hard to. His health is great. Just because he's older doesn't mean he has to walk away. Belichick's still doing it in his 70s.
It's going great.
Yeah.
It's going
swimmingly. That's a completely different career now, though, for Belichick. College is completely different from what the NFL is, you know? So,
and it wasn't going great in the NFL.
No, it wasn't at the end. But also, too, we'll know a lot more this year, but I don't view Andy Reid as this arrogant guy like Bill Belichick was. Like, Andy Reid is not giving up on Patrick Mahomes because he thinks he's the reason, you know, like Belichick did with Tom Brady.
I'll say in a weird way that I hope it isn't Andy Reid into the new stadium. I would like, as a fan, to have a new stadium and then have a new coach and have a new regime here. Like, let's start something different. Let's go. In 5 years, he'll be 73. He'll be turning 74.
That's old.
That's really old.
That's
getting up there. And it's just for his sake, for our sake, like, let's start anew. I hope these next four seasons go amazing, and I hope there's at least one, if not two, Super Bowl wins there.
Yeah.
And it can kind of secure his legacy. But yeah, I think for Big Red and for the Chiefs, I think it'd be the best for everyone that we find his successor by that time.
It would be fun to do that. Yeah, you're right. Up at that age, you want him here closing out Arrowhead, though?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So would love for the last game to be him.
They have to extend him one more year.
Let's do one more season. Last game in Arrowhead, Andy Reid.
Right.
What's the cooler story? He closes out Arrowhead, or he opens up the new one?
Closes out.
Got to be,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think closes out.
Closes out at the AFC Championship game, as we've talked about.
Against Cincinnati.
Winning.
Yeah. Get out of here.
Josh Allen.
What do you think those tickets for the final game at Arrowhead will be more than what people are paying for the World Cup?
No.
No. No, the World Cup's obscene.
Now, if you ask first game of the new stadium in World Cup, then we
that would be just face value.
And that's going to be nuts.
Where would you rather be? First game of the new or the last game at Arrowhead? I'd rather be at the last game at Arrowhead.
Because I'm taking the seat.
Yeah, I'd rather be because I would rather be at the last game at Arrowhead because it's the last game at Arrowhead. So I feel like people are going to spend a lot of money to make sure that they're in that game.
I can tell you right now, when they have the last game at Kauffman Stadium, I will be there and I will cry.
Yeah, I think that's
fair.
That
is my home away from home. A lot of people. Like, I will look very similar to Bobby Witt Jr. when he watched the Yankees win the ALDS. I will stay there until somebody comes down and says, hey, man, you got to go. Just so much has happened there. And, like, it's the same at Arrowhead. Like, I if I went to Arrowhead the last game, I would cry. I don't care if I'm shamed for that. Like, that's a special place for me as the K.
I don't think anybody's going to leave Arrowhead after the last game. I think it's going to be like Madison Square Garden the other night. And I'm not kidding about that. I think that whatever game it is, whether it's the AFC Championship game, I think inside the stadium, I don't think people are going to want to leave because you know the last time you walk out that tunnel, that's the last time you're walking out that tunnel. There's no going back. You're never going to be inside that stadium again in your life. The minute you walk out, that era is done. It is over. And we know how many people, not just in the last decade when this team has been good, but since this franchise has come here, how many people have made that their Sunday home and how many people have been season ticket holders and how many people have seen so many things happen at that stadium and watched their kids grow up going to Chiefs games and doing all that kind of stuff. That last game at Arrowhead, regardless of whether it's a regular season game or a postseason game, I think is going to be an insane scene because it's going to be cold because it's going to be wintertime. I got the image of it nighttime. The lights are on. There's confetti going all over. Your tears are freezing. Yeah. And you're just standing there with that last beer looking out at that field and you got your arm around your buddy or your wife or your kids or whoever you went to that game with and you hug them close and you go, this was great. This was memories. This was so much fun. I don't want this to end. But it is ending, and then we start anew, and you leave Arrowhead, and you will get emotional, and you should get emotional because of what that stadium has provided for so many of us, even going back to the Marty years, you know, for all of us old people, when this franchise was nothing, and Marty and you know, Carl came in and turned this whole thing around and made Arrowhead the place to be. Yeah, I just got emotional talking about it. Damn, that last game at Arrowhead is going to be an emotional mess for a lot of people.
Yeah. Somebody says Arrowhead is my main source of memories of my dad. I could say the same thing about Kauffman Stadium. I think that's what's crazy about it. Is you were probably there for a World Series game or a playoff game at Arrowhead, but it's like who you were there with and why you were there with them.
Yep.
And I think that's the joy of it all. And it's just mind-blowing to me that we're having this conversation about good things coming to an end, but they always do. Nelly Furtado told us that once. Coming up next, it's Richard of the Week here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
Every Hardee's is closed.
Well, that's Doc.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5, The Fan.
Hope you've all had a great week. Hope you all have a great weekend. Looks like it could be a little rainy tomorrow, but today looks like it might be perfect. Might be your perfect last spring day, right? Summer's always just shows up and doesn't leave for about 2.5 months. Still pretty green out there from all the rain, but today, high of 84. Lovely weather for a baseball game. Can't wait to get out there tonight, 7:10 first pitch. See if Jack Caglione can continue to ride the hot wave as he has been fantastic to watch. Hitting fourth now. Leading the team in batting average and many other statistics. Tie for the team lead in home runs. So, love to see that. But now, we get to get into our Richards of the Week.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
That's right. Never like to see your name come up on one of these lists. That means you've done something that people just don't respect you for. Mac brought it up in one word earlier. If you missed it, I'm sorry. Go back and listen to the show. But my Richard of the Week this week is Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson is no longer welcome at a fancy San Diego golf course after being accused of making unwanted contact with a female employee earlier this year. The alleged incident reported by Golf Digest is said to have gone down earlier this year at the course's clubhouse. The six-time major champion is accused of approaching a female employee and making non-consensual and inappropriate physical contact with her. According to the report, the woman went to her bosses and the club immediately launched an investigation. When the 55-year-old golf legend returned to the course, he was confronted and told to vacate the premises, which he did before completing his round. Good. Glad you get to finish your round, Phil, you weirdo.
God. Also, it's just disgusting.
Also,
terrible.
I believe Phil like left his wife right after she was diagnosed with cancer. I believe that was him. I could be wrong. I don't want to make up anything.
There was somebody else I know that did that, but I'm not going to say that on the air. But right. I mean, especially if they didn't. I mean,
but he's never really been somebody that I've enjoyed. But yeah, yeah, his wife had breast cancer. She was diagnosed in May of 29. And then Phil Mickelson has this thing going on, and he's just not – he's got gambling debt. He's always kind of been that guy on the course. He's always kind of been this, like, not a huge fan of his. But this, like, being, like, 55 in a clubhouse and, like, undesired and going up there and, like – it's like the – what was that guy's name? Urban Meyer when he was in that bar. And I don't think she was mad about it, but he was still, like – you just don't touch people, right?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Like, you know, even if you see like a guy out that you know, let alone a female, you don't go to him and grab a show. Hey, dude, good to see. Hey, space, leave it open, So, yeah, not a big fan of that. And Phil Mickelson, you get Dusty Likens, Richard of the Week.
Mac, who you got?
Yeah, it's just ego.
That's exactly what it is. I'm just going to give a quick sidebar. My daughter, as we talked about with the car wreck, right? And I said to my wife yesterday, I said, we're going to make her contribute to this. A certain percentage each month of her paycheck is going to go back to us for this car. And my wife's like, yeah, she's not going to have an opportunity. I go, she's going to work. She's got to learn responsibility in this one. This is going to be a teacher responsibility moment because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about athletes. We let these guys get away with everything, and then they end up doing stuff you can't, you know, help them get out of. Phil Mickelson or whoever the case may be, they continue to push the envelope. And so for me, I'm like, yeah, my daughter's going to help pay for this car. We're going to find a way. She'll work, you know, where she's working and do her thing and give us a couple of bucks each month. But I'm going to teach her responsibility so she understands and now has an ownership stake in this car as well. So, I mean, you got to do the right things. And Phil Mickelson doing this kind of stuff, man, what a scumbag. Hey. So he should have been punished years ago for his behavior.
Yeah, he just thinks he can keep on
and if you don't,
doing it.
Yeah, exactly, because nobody's ever held the guy accountable. And so if you don't take this membership away from him, he's going to think it's okay and do it again.
And that's going to lead to other people doing it. Well, Phil did it.
Yeah.
Phil got away with it. Well, you're not Phil Mickelson. Oh, now there's levels.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, great move by the club to boot this guy.
Yeah. I got eight holes left. You okay? No, get out of here.
Like, I heard they did it like right on the course.
Oh, yeah.
Is that true? I heard they walked out there on the course and basically stripped him of his membership on like hole seven or something.
So.
I hope they embarrassed the hell out of him out there.
And yeah, there's no space for that. Same thing with no space for Texas Tech. That's my Richard of the Week. Similar to, you know, using something as a shield, using something as a prop, whether that be your social status or using mental health as something to where you can victimize other people and make us feel bad and guilty for wanting consequences for your actions. Texas Tech is now propping up mental health and addiction as a reason that, oh, well, that's why Sorsby, he's got a problem. We know. We understand. That doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want. Right? If I had anger issues, I can't just go scream at you. Yeah, well, I've got anger issues that I'm dealing. Yeah, you've got to deal with that. The rest of society doesn't have to deal with that. Taylor Tomlinson, great comic. She's got a special on Netflix where she talks about mental health, all these things, and letting it be others' people's issues. It's your problem. You have to put on your floaties if you're going to go sweep in the deep end. That is society.
Mm-hmm.
And Britton Sorsby, young adult, still an adult, and I do feel for him and whatever is going on and his diagnosis as being a gambling addict, if you want to help him, it's getting him away and actually getting him treatment. And Texas Tech, screw you, get bent.
Yeah, it's really embarrassing what they're doing, and their behavior, I think, could eventually bring down college football. I think this is what it's going to be, that ultimately, what did in college football, somebody will ask in 30 years ago, well, there's this Brandon Sorsby kid who Texas Tech felt the need to play. Like, again, he wasn't even on your team last year, and the way that they are defending this guy and trying to, they're basically showing everybody how wrong they are, but trying to prove themselves right. And every time they speak, it looks worse and worse for Texas Tech. For me, I'm going to go with this story, and I'm going to blame society on this one and the state of Florida, because this guy, Ronald Clark Willard, has now been found guilty of his 8th DUI.
Wow. You said 8?
That's what I said, Dusty. 8th DUI.
Good.
This guy has been out on the road still driving. Once you get to a certain number of DUIs, maybe it's 3. We'll go with baseball. 3 strikes, you're out.
Should be 1.
It should be. You're absolutely. And there's a woman today that I just retweeted. She's trying to get a law passed nationwide, and she's from Missouri. And I love this law. If you kill a parent while you're drunk driving, now you're going to owe child support. Huh. I love that law.
Yeah.
I think that law is wonderful. Good. There are enough fail-safes out there to not drive drunk or high anymore, right? You got Uber, you got Lyft, you got taxis. Even in Kansas City, it's a touch of a button on your phone.
You probably have a sober friend.
You probably, or a sober friend or somebody. This guy's, obviously, he's got issues too. If you're getting 8 DUIs, he should be in jail for the rest of his life. And the reason I say that is because he is an endangerment. And I think even if you get 3 DUIs, maybe you should be in jail for the rest of your life. Because it's not about you anymore. When you drink and drive, I don't give a rip what happens to you. If you hit a tree and die, that's on you for getting behind the car. It's everybody else's life that you are putting in danger when you get behind the wheel. And so the Richard of the Week is society. For us really not punishing habitual DUI offenders more than we do. Nobody on earth should be allowed to be in a position to have 8 DUIs. You're putting everybody at risk when you allow these losers to drive around town and don't put them in jail. We gave you the opportunity, sir. We've tried. You are now a menace to society, and you'll get 3 hots and a cot for the rest of your life.
Somebody says in Canada, you get 3, you lose your license for life.
Good. But that doesn't stop people from driving, you know?
Yeah. No, that's true.
But these people still get behind the wheel, you know?
That's fair. Call your friends.
And I'll say punishing, yeah, as well, and as help. It's the same thing with Texas Tech. That guy needs help.
Well, sure he does.
That guy has a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As jail's society, a good spot for him, because we'll have a problem if he's out wandering the streets, too.
Jail and rehab, yeah.
Yeah.
Go do something nice for somebody. You got the entire weekend, but you could get started today. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's Simply Cool to Care, Kansas City. Stay kind, stay safe, and stay groovy. Coming up next, it's Cody, Golden, Drew from 10 to 2, CDOT from 2 to 6, and Burn at 6 p.m. as your Royals get started with a 3-game set against the Astros. Go sweep the Stros. Go take over the MVP. Bobby, go stay hot, Jack Caglione. We'll see you tonight, Kauffman Stadium. We'll talk to you on Monday.